We started to discuss last year about the details of making salad on Shabbos and some of the considerations when it comes to the malacha of borer. Borer means you're not allowed to separate solechs mitocha ochel, which means when you have two different items together, one of them is desirable, one of them is undesirable, and you're going to take one item out from the other and separate the two. That is called the malacha of borer, and we spoke about last time choosing the vegetables, choosing the fruits that you're going to include in this salad, and how would you be allowed to do that when you know from the outset that some of them you're probably going to put back and not going to use, and you are thereby choosing the good from the bad from the good. That's what we spoke about last time. One of the students approached me after class last week, I think they sent me an email, I don't remember, and said that wouldn't it just be much easier if you made the salad before Shabbos? I said yes, but of course the salad is not going to be as fresh if you make it before Shabbos, and the dressing is not going to last if you put it in before Shabbos. However, the concern that they had nothing to do with that. They said, aren't we concerned? Doesn't the Gemara say that there's a problem about leaving garlic or onions exposed overnight? That is actually an excellent question. So before we continue on to the point that I want to get to in making the salad, which is going in order of how you do it, I first want to address the two questions that were brought up last week. That was one of them. And the second one was about, somebody asked about squeezing a lemon, which again is out of chronological order for how you make a salad. We're not even up to that. There's nothing in the bowl yet. But still, I think both of those questions are worth considering before we move further. So look here. Rav Avadya Yosef has a very interesting tshuva where somebody asked him the following shaila. Somebody wrote to Rav Avadya and he responded. The question was from Alexandria. Anybody knows where that is?
Egypt.
So Rav Avadya in his earlier days lived in Egypt before he went back to Yerushalayim. And Rav Avadya responds to this rabbi, Rav Matok Dabai. I don't know what kind of rabbi he was, but he sent him the following shaila. Odos she'elaso. This is in response to your question. Binogela beis charoshes l'shimurei b'tzelem. Your question was about a factory where they manufacture onion powder or onion extract. And he writes, Haklufim umiyubashim b'machuna, where they skin them, and then they dry them out in a machine. Umanichim osa b'kufsos, and then they put them in these containers. Amanas v'shachon l'medinas v'chokos, and they're going to export them to other countries, to other communities, and they're going to last. So then he wants to know, they asked him to give a hechsher for Pesach, v'chashash, and you are concerned for what Chazal say, that batzal kaluf she'avar alav halayla, if you have a garlic that was peeled off from the, what's it called? The peel. She'avar alav halayla, and you have it overnight without a peel, ha'ochlo dama barosha. The Gemara seems to say that it's somewhat dangerous to eat a garlic that was peeled and left overnight. So that was the question that Rav Avadya was confronted with. Let's try to get into the issue, because that's really what the member of our class asked, and I think it's a very interesting issue. The Gemara says in Maseches Nida, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, look over here and pay attention. Amar Rav Shimon Yochai. Rav Shimon Yochai is most famous in our calendaric year, next week, because the understanding is Rav Shimon Yochai is something very intrinsically connected to Lag BaOmer. It's a shir for another time. But Rav Shimon Yochai is the one who said a lot of other things outside of Lag BaOmer. Shimon Yochai was one of the greatest of the Tanoim. Shimon Yochai said the following in Maseches Nida. What did he say? Hey, Dvarim Heim, there are five things, Sha'osin Osan, that if somebody does any of these five things, Mischayev Benafsho V'dama Barosho, it's like committing suicide. It is so dangerous, it is so, it is putting yourself in such a precarious situation to get involved in such a thing, and therefore if you choose to do it, Dama Barosho, Mischayev Benafsho, it's as if you have committed suicide by doing that. Okay. Ha'ochel Shum Kalaf. What is the first? The first in that list is somebody who eats a garlic that was peeled. The second thing is batzal kaluf. If I eat a onion that was peeled and then left overnight. Or beitza klufa. If I peel an egg and then I leave it overnight, problem. Fourth, hashosem mayim mizugin hasha'avar alam halayla. Or if I leave a cup of water and I don't pay attention to it overnight, we have to be concerned that maybe some kind of rodent, some kind of insect, a nachash, says the Gemara, a snake may have come, put some poisonous venom inside of this water, and we have to be concerned that if you're going to drink it, maybe you're going to be drinking something poisonous and bring a great danger to your health. That's what the Gemara says. This Gemara is quoted lahalacha in the Rush, and the Yamshel Shlomo, one of the very important Sifrei Halacha in the 1500s, quotes it from the Rush as well. Now, the Shulchan Aruch does not mention it, but the Rama does bring it down. And the Rama says, we should be careful. The Ramban Siman Kuf Tes Zayin in Yeredeya, that's a siman that's all about Dvarim Ha'asurim Mishum Sakana. There are a number of things. If you scan through all of Shas Babli, you will find a number of different items that are mentioned that if you involve yourself in this kind of activity, it's very, very dangerous and you never know what's going to happen. So the Rama brings all of those down in one siman in Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Tes Zayin. And the Rama says we should be very careful not to endanger ourselves. And the major poskim quote this comment of the Rama. Now this gets into a general question. When the Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch have all these kinds of concerns that don't correspond to the reality as we know it today, do we still have to be concerned, or do we say, look, something may have changed, maybe Nishtanu HaTvayim, maybe the way that we are today is not the same as they were then, maybe we all take different kinds of vitamins and we have different kinds of diets, and therefore all of these considerations that they had in the times of the Gemara, which were based on their understandings, maybe those are not relevant today. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It doesn't mean that everything the Gemara said is not relevant today. It means when the Gemara says that based on the scientific knowledge that they had then, they were concerned about this and they thought that maybe it was going to be dangerous, does that apply to us? Or if they said they felt that there was some kind of ruach ra, they felt there was some kind of evil spirit that came about if you involve yourself in X or Y, is that something we have to be concerned about? So I'll just give a few examples. The Gemara here talks about Mayim Megulim. This is a Gemara we just read in Maseches Nida. The Gemara says, you shouldn't drink water that was left overnight uncovered because we have to be concerned that maybe a nachash came, maybe a snake came around and put some poisonous venom in, and therefore when you're going to drink it, it's a danger to your health. Do we have to be concerned in our generation? We don't have snakes. We leave water on the table. Now, you may not want to drink it anyway, but if you leave a cup of water on the table and it's just you in your apartment and it's nobody else there, what do you think? Somebody else drank from it? You think a mouse came along? Yes, if you live in the Heights, maybe you have to be concerned. But what do you think happened to the water? Nothing happened to the water. And that is why Tosis writes in Maseches Beitza, and the Ramban writes the same thing, and the Rama in Siman Samach and Rav Moshe Feinstein all write that this whole idea of Mayim Megulim, this whole idea of concern, that if I left a cup of water exposed overnight, I'm not allowed to drink it because it's so dangerous, doesn't apply today. Why does it not apply today? Because we don't have those situations. We don't have those circumstances. It's simply no longer relevant to the reality as we know it today. That is with regard to Mayim Megulim. Now, there are those who say, no, you still have to be very careful. If the Gemara told us to be careful, you don't know why the Gemara said that, and therefore we have to be careful nonetheless, even though we don't have any snakes today. Either way, if you have a cup of water that was in the refrigerator overnight, there's no concern that any animals went into the refrigerator, so for sure you don't have to be concerned. But in general, Rav Moshe Feinstein, following the opinion of many, many of the Rishonim and the Rama himself, is of the opinion that when it comes to Mayim Megulim, we don't have to be concerned. A very famous one is, you're not allowed to eat basar vidagim that was cooked together, right? You shouldn't have fish and meat that were cooked together. So I get so many questions about this every year. I think the most common question that I get is about, anybody knows what Worcestershire sauce is? I don't know what this thing is, but people apparently like to use it, and it's a big question. What?
Isn't it British? Worcester sauce.
Right?
I don't even know how to say it. Worcestershire sauce or something, right? What? What do you say? But classically, Worcestershire sauce had extracts of fish. The question was, how does the OU put a hechsher on it if they know that it's going to be used for meat recipes? And that was the question that comes up all the time. But where does the concern come from? The concern comes from the Gemara Maseches Pesachim Daf Ayin Vav, where we're told that it's some kind of sakana to have basar v'dagim that are going to be cooked together or baked together, and you have to be very worried about that. The Magen Avraham writes in Siman Kuf Ayin Gimel in Aruch Chaim that Bizman hazeh, nishtanu hatvayim, we no longer have to be concerned, and this whole idea of fish and meat together is nothing to be concerned about, and that is why in many cases, when you ask a shiloh about such a thing, the Rav will very likely be mekel, because the Magen Avraham already said, now not everybody accepts the Magen Avraham's position, but again, the Magen Avraham is a major posik, and that is quoted la'alacha in the Mishnah Berurah there as well, that the Magen Avraham already said, this whole idea that the Gemara introduces us to of the danger from having meat and fish together is not really so relevant bizman hazeh. You know that in many people's homes, they're going to have a different fork for the meat and for the fish. You know, so how careful do you need to be? How much do we need to go out of our way to be worried about this is a very good question. But again, another example of a situation where the Shulchan Aruch I'm sorry, where the Gemara tells us this is of great danger and you have to be very nervous. And the later poskim say that maybe it's not something that's so relevant today. Another example that I get questions about all the time. We'll take your question in a minute, Brianna. But the Gemara says in Maseches Psachim Kuf Yud Beis, if you put food under your bed, that's dangerous. That's going to be a big problem. Why? Not clear. Some Rishonim say the reason why is because there's some kind of evil spirit, a Ruach Ra, that's under the bed. Other Rishonim say, I think the Rambam says the reason why is because, practical, maybe something's going to fall into the food under your bed. You're not watching. If it's on the table, you're going to see. But if something falls into the food under the bed, then you're going to eat it. Maybe there's something dangerous that got mixed in, and you're not going to know about it, and it's actually going to be a danger to your health if you consume that. Is that a concern today? I get this question every year when kids go to camp, and they don't have enough room in a locker, or they don't have enough room in a cubby to put all the snacks that their parents send them. So what do? They put it under their bed. So, is that okay? Is it not okay? This is a major, major question. Shulchan Aruch quotes it. The Vilna Gaon is very, very machmir. And he says, all the things that the Gemara says we have to worry about, we have to worry about. And therefore, if the Gemara says that there's some concern about Ochel Tachas Amita, you have to be concerned. And the Chachmas Adam, which is the Chayi Adam, and the Aruch HaShulchan and others feel that you really don't have to be concerned. Well, let's say you have, back to our case, let's say you have a Batzel Kalufa, which means if you have an onion or a garlic that is peeled, do I have to be concerned about leaving that overnight? So Moshe Feinstein writes, look, you know, that gets into this general discussion of whether or not we have to be concerned about all these items. But Moshe writes, if there's any shinui ktsas, if it's changed in any way, meaning if it's mixed into a mixture, or it is covered with a Tupperware perhaps, or something like that, Moshe says, you add a little bit of oil, you put a little bit of spice, anything like that, Moshe says, you would no longer have any reason to be concerned. Maybe we don't even have to be concerned in the first place because the whole thing does not correspond to the reality as we know it today. There's a very interesting story that Rav Zilberstein is one of the great Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael today. He writes a story about the Kloizimer Rebbe. The Kloizimer Rebbe was one of the survivors of the Shoah. And the Kloizimer Rebbe got up on Lag BaOmer one year and he said the following. He said, you know, we have many things that we celebrate on Lag BaOmer in the name of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. People go up to Meiron and Rav Shimon ben Yochai and everyone's all excited. But he said, why doesn't anyone pay attention to what Rav Shimon ben Yochai said here? Shimon Yochai said that you have to be worried about all of these things, and one of them is when you have an egg that is peeled, or if you have a butzel, if you have an onion that is peeled, that you shouldn't eat it if it was left overnight. And the Kloizimer Rebbe said, at least a Lag BaOmer we should worry about it. On the day that we celebrate Reb Shimon Yochai would be an appropriate day to at least worry about the things that Reb Shimon Yochai was concerned about. So the Kloizimer Rebbe has a very interesting tshuva. I'm going to read you a few lines from it. I find it fascinating. Kloizimer Rebbe was known to be a very fiery personality, and in some of the tshuvas, the way he writes, he's also very, I wouldn't say extreme is the right word, but very strong. Passionate. Yes, thank you. Very passionate. So in his tshuvas, Divrei Yatziv, he writes the following. Ubarli. You ever wonder, says the Kloizimer Rebbe, you look around today and you see all these rare diseases, rare illnesses, such strange things that we've never heard about. Now you'll say, maybe we never heard about it because people used to die much younger than they die today. So now if the population is living longer, obviously more illnesses and more diseases are going to be discovered because there's more time in one's life to come up with a disease or an illness, right? So that's one perspective. But he says, he thinks there's something else here. He says, you ever wonder why we find so many horrific things? Shekal osan marin bishin umachalos mishunos umisos mishunos. He says, Rachmana litzlan, we hear about all of these wild stories and crazy illnesses that we've never heard about before. Sheshomim hayomi bayisu michutz bayamu veyabasha, that you hear about in Israel and America. You know, we hear about this all the time. Says the Kloizimer Rebbe, you know what my thesis is? His feeling is, hakol me'osam ruach ra shemazikin la'achar zman. I believe, says the Kloizimer Rebbe, it's because we're not careful about all the things the Gemara says you have to worry about. So you're not worried about the eggs, and you're not worried about the garlic, and you're not worried about the onion. Maybe that's why we're having all these sicknesses. Now, we're not playing God. Nobody really knows why this happens. And you could say, just naturally, this is what happens. People get sick. There are mutations. There are things that go wrong. I don't know. But here, he says, in his feeling, in his opinion, he feels that this is something that really has a connection to our not being careful. Again, that's his perspective. I'm not going to read all the rest of this. But he continues to go on in a very, very strong language, that his opinion is we should be careful about all the different things that the Gemara talks about here, And we shouldn't just laugh them off and say, they're not so relevant to our generation and we really don't have to be concerned. That is his opinion. Again, it's a minority opinion in the poskim today. Most of the poskim seem to say, the mainstream poskim seem to say, that many of these things we can be a little bit more relaxed about, nishtanu atvayim, as the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Magen Avraham. And in regard to many of the other things that are mentioned in the Gemara, we don't have to really be as concerned as they once were. That was the first question that was raised to me after last year. The second question that was raised was a very important question, which again should really be addressed later, but we're going to address it now only because it was someone's question. But before that, let's hear what's your question. Yeah. So he says, there are those who say that we should still be concerned about all of those concerns that the Gemara says were way back then. However, he says, if let's say I have a peeled onion, which the Gemara says you have to worry about, and I change it in any way from what it naturally was once I peeled it. So I crush it up, what?
Before
leaving it overnight. So I crush it up, or I add ingredients, or I put oil into it, or I put it in a Tupperware and I close it up and I seal it. In all of those cases, says Rav Moshe, you wouldn't have to be concerned because it's not exactly the way the Gemara said. Even if you want to be concerned for what the Gemara said, do one little shinui and that is good enough. That's what he says.
Also, the other question, what was the initial danger of having meat and fish?
I don't know. The Gemara says if you have those two items together, something terrible is going to happen. I don't know exactly what they believed in, what it was, but that's what the Gemara says. Okay, so the second issue is about squeezing a lemon into a salad. Anybody here do that? I mean, obviously someone in our class does because they asked. You squeeze a lemon or you pour lemon juice?
Sometimes you want fresh lemon.
It tastes so much different, a fresh lemon?
It's very different.
What?
The flavor's different.
Very different. Okay, so the question was obviously a very relevant question. Someone wants to know about squeezing a lemon into a salad on Shabbos. Very, very good question. Let's begin with the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Dalet. Here it's number Gimel. Says the Gemara as follows, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shel Anavim, the Toch HaKedera. What does that mean? Sochet means I'm allowed to squeeze. An Eshkol Shel Anavim means a cluster of grapes. The Toch HaKedera Avalo LeToch HaKa'ara. Whoa. What's a Kedera and what's a Ka'ara? Kedera means a pot. A Ka'ara is? What? A bowl, a plate. What's the difference? I'm allowed to squeeze grapes into a pot, but I'm not allowed to squeeze grapes into a bowl. What's the difference? So the Gemara says the difference is, very correctly stated, the difference is a pot that has food in it, I would be allowed to squeeze grapes or lemons or anything else into it. However, if I have an empty bowl and there is no food that is in the bowl currently, then I would not be allowed to squeeze it on Shabbos into the bowl. Okay, that's what the Gemara tells us here. Now, why should there be a difference between squeezing it into an empty bowl and squeezing it into a pot? If we know that there's a malacha on Shabbos of schita, if I'm not allowed to squeeze and extract something, a liquid from a salad, then why would I be allowed to squeeze this into a pot that has food in it? How do you understand that? It's the same action. If you do it into a pot, it's allowed. If you do it into an empty bowl, it's not allowed. What's the difference? So this is what the Gemara discusses, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion, the answer is as follows. The whole malacha here of squeezing, of extracting a liquid from a fruit is when I have a salad, and that's the way it started, and then I take that salad and I extract the liquid from it, and I have two different items. I have a liquid and a solid. But let's say I extract something from the fruit, and it goes directly into a solid mixture. Right? So I squeeze out the grapes, and instead of them going into a bowl and now having two different items, one which is solid, which is the grape, and one which is liquid, which is the juice that came out, I now have the juice goes directly into a salad itself, and it's mixed into the salad. So now I look at it, and I no longer have two different items that resulted because of what I squeezed out. What I see in front of me is solid grapes and solid salad. Now it happens to be the salad has a little bit of something mixed into it, but you don't see that as a separate entity, and therefore we would say that that is not called the malacha of schita, that is not called separating, extracting on Shabbos, because the extract that you took out is never going to be alone by itself. So that is why the Gemara says that would be permissible. That is the clear maskana, that is the clear bottom line of the Gemara. However, Rabbeinu Chananel, who was one of the most significant of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Chananel was at the very beginning of the period of the Rishonim, And the Rishonim take Rabbeinu Hananel's positions very seriously. Even sometimes when we don't paskin like him, we worry about what Rabbeinu Hananel said. We're concerned that we don't just overlook what he said and say he was outvoted. We worry about what he said. So Rabbeinu Hananel rereads the Gemara and interprets the conclusion very differently, and he says, no, you're not allowed to squeeze it even into a food, because that would be a malacha. How can you squeeze it into a food? We just read the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says very clearly you're allowed to. He rereads the whole thing, he reinterprets it, and he explains why he would not allow it. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Chaf accepts the majority opinion, and the simple understanding of the Gemara, which is, I would be allowed to squeeze fruits into a salad directly, but I would not be allowed to do it into an empty bowl. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Hamachmir, somebody who wants to worry about Rabbeinu Hananel's opinion, Tavo Alav Bracha, wonderful, it's very good, but the mainstream opinion is that there's nothing wrong with doing that at all. Now, that is with regard to squeezing it in. Now, obviously it would be clear, it goes without saying, that if in order to squeeze it into the salad, I first squeeze it into an empty bowl and then pour the extract into the salad, that would be a problem. And similarly, what would be another outcome of our discussion? If I would squeeze it into a cup of tea, right? So what would you say then? Not be allowed. Why not?
Because it goes from a solid to a liquid.
Because it goes from being a solid, grapes, into a liquid. The only time we say this is allowed is if it started off as a solid and it turns out to be part of a solid again. So nothing really happened. But here, if I have a solid that then goes into a liquid, that would not be permissible. Yes, question.
Wouldn't you run into a borer issue, though, with like the seeds of the lemon? Because let's say squeezing it, you either fall out into the mixture and you probably remove it, or you try to remove it first.
How do you're saying if a seed fell in?
Yeah. Usually a seed would fall in if you're really squeezing a lemon in.
So that's what I want to get to a little bit later in the shiur. I know it's going to gross you out to talk about a fly that falls into a drink, right? But it's relevant to something we're going to talk about. Bring it back up a little bit later. Yeah.
So you're saying that when you squeeze the grape or the lemon and the liquid goes into the salad, then you're considering it still solid.
Correct.
But what about like that second that it's...
But it never stood alone. It was never on its own. Since it was never collected on its own, we assume that it goes directly into the solid, and we assume it gets... It becomes part of the solid mixture. That's the assumption, and that's why it's permissible. Yeah. Anyone else had a question? Okay, so now let's take a step back. Let's back up, and let's get back to where we left off in last week's shiur. So what we spoke about last time is choosing the fruits. So now you've chosen which fruits or vegetables you want to use, and the natural next step for all of us would be, what's the next thing you do?
Wash them.
So you want to wash the fruits or vegetables before you put them into a mixture, into a salad. Sounds like a silly question, but am I allowed to wash fruits or vegetables on Shabbos? By a show of hands, I'm just curious. How many of you have ever thought about this question on Shabbos? I include myself. Maybe that makes you feel good or bad. I don't know. I'm just as much an Am Haaretz as everyone else in the room. I actually, till I looked into this, because of this year, I never thought about the issue. Why would I have thought there's a problem to wash fruits or vegetables on Shabbos? What can possibly be the problem? Then when you think about it, you say to yourself, yeah, hey, isn't that borer? What is the point of my washing the vegetable or the fruit? It's in order to separate the bad from the good. What I'm trying to do is take off any dirt that is on the apple, take off any dirt that is on the cucumber or the lettuce, and then be able to eat it. So isn't that borer? So let's see. We have a Mishnah, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem, where the Mishnah tells us here in number Dalet, Ein sholin es ha-karshinim velo shafin osam. Karshinim means like beans, lentils. I'm not allowed to put them into a big bucket of water and allow them to soak. That's sholin es ha-karshinim. Velo shafin osam means once they're in a bucket of water, let's say I put them in before Shabbos, but now I start rubbing them off in the water to get whatever dirt might be on the beans off, I would not be allowed to do that on Shabbos either. So two things. Number one, I cannot fill up a bucket of water and put beans inside. Number two, if the bucket of water was already filled up before with the beans, and now I'm just coming to rub them off in order that all the dirt should be extracted, should be taken off, should be separated, we would say that both of those are considered to be a problem. Now, The Primigadim and the Mishnah Berurah have a dispute whether we're talking about an Issa D'Oraisa here or an Issa D'Rabbanan. Usually, says the Primigadim, when we talk about Borer, when we talk about separating, it means I have something that is not desirable in the mixture and I remove it. Over here, that's not really what's happening. I put my hands into the water. I'm not looking at what's going on. So maybe he says that would be Kilach Hayad. Maybe it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. Be it as it may, Issa D'Oraisa, Issa D'Rabbanan, whatever it is, it would seem to be a problem based on the Gemara. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to put fruits or vegetables, or for that matter, the Gemara is talking about beans, but it's the same as everything else. I'm not allowed to put them into water in order to separate the dirt that is on them from the fruit or the vegetable that I would like to eat. So what do I do? Number one, the first important factor that we need to keep in mind is what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Arachayim, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Chav Hei. Look at number Hei. A short snippet from Rav Moshe's long tshuva, where he writes the following. In our generation, says Rav Moshe, the reason why we wash fruits and vegetables is not because they have so much dirt on them. Let's say I had no water around. I would venture to say most people who are very hungry and need to have a snack would eat the apple anyway. Why do we wash it off? Because we're mufunakim. Because we're very careful, we're very clean, we're very hygienic. But really, we don't have to. Many people in the world would have no problem, right? So we happen to be a very careful society today, says Rav Moshe. But there are many countries in the world and many people in the world who actually wouldn't care. You buy an apple in the store, you would eat it. Do you have to wash it? You don't have to wash it. Do we like to wash it? Yes. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, when that's what we're dealing with, that's not really called borer. Because as far as I'm concerned, when push would come to shove, if I had no water, I would probably eat the apple anyway. So borer means when I have something that is so undesirable, I need to get rid of it. But here, says Rav Moshe, this is not so bad. I really wouldn't mind that much if it wasn't washed off and it would be okay. Let's see, says Rav Moshe, Barov ha-pa'amim, most of the times in our society, Rechitzas ha-peiros hi rak li-yisron ba'alma, the only reason why we wash off the fruits is just because we are so extra careful to make sure that everything is so clean and so hygienic, that's why we wash it off. Dehar b'bnei adam, ochlim osam gam b'lo rechitza. Many people in the world eat fruits and vegetables without washing them. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, ve'az leka iser, kemo yayin umayim tzilulim. Rav Moshe gives an example. Shulchan Aruch talks about a case, would I be allowed to filter water before drinking it? So the Shulchan Aruch says, it depends. If the water was taken from a puddle outside that has mud in it, and you're filtering it, and without filtering it, you would never ever think of drinking the water. Now, I wouldn't drink it even after filtering it, but if you're the kind of person that would only drink it after you have sifted out all the mud and the dirt and the rocks that are in it, then of course, that would be a Malach on Shabbos. That's Borer. But says Rav Moshe, let's say you have water. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. If I have water, and most people in the world would drink it, they wouldn't care. Happens to be there's a little bit of something in there, and you want to put an extra purifier, an extra filter onto it before you drink it. Would that be a malacha on Shabbos? Says the Shulchan Aruch, no. Why? Because most people would have no problem drinking this water without the extra filter. Nobody in their right mind would drink, unless you're passing out, but nobody would drink dirty water that had mud and rocks in it. And that would be borer. But here where I have water and just a little bit of dirt that gets into it, most people wouldn't even notice, wouldn't be a problem. This was very relevant when a couple of years ago they had the issue of the copepods here in New York City, Queens, right? Don't even know about it. The bugs in the water, right? So I remember when they came to the YU Beis Medrash to show my father that you could actually see them. Some said you can't see them. We looked at them. You can see them, right? So here you have bugs in the water, and the question was, what do you do? So, most people in New York City don't care. So the question was, if the only reason why we're filtering it is only because of halachic considerations, where does that put us? Is that called psoles? Would you say most people in the world would drink the water anyway? It's just the Jews who have this crazy restriction about borer, who have a crazy restriction about having living animals or bugs inside of the water and wouldn't allow themselves to drink it, even though most people wouldn't even care and don't even notice. Maybe if it's our craziness, that's not considered borer, because it's not really psoles. The only reason why we're separating it is a halachic separation. That's not called borer. That was a major question. That was really what the issue hinged on, whether on Shabbos we'd be allowed to use those filters that try to get rid of the halachic bugs that are in the water that most other regular people in New York City didn't even notice and didn't care about. That was the crux of the issue then, but that's where Moshe writes over here. When you have a situation where most people would eat this without the washing, then certainly that is not part of the discussion here. That is not getting into the question of borer, because there is no borer at all. There's no tarovis. There's no mixture at all That has to be separated, yes.
Are you going to talk about checking fruits and vegetables for brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Okay, but let's say you have a fruit or vegetable, you went to the farmer's market, and they are actually dirty. Sometimes you have like corn or something like that that is actually dirty and really needs to be washed. Would I be allowed to wash it on Shabbos? The Mishnah Berurah writes very clearly. He sees no heter to pour water on fruits or vegetables on Shabbos. He sees no heter at all to soak them in water on Shabbos. He thinks that that would be a violation of the Isur D'Oraisa of Borer. However, the contemporary post can reject this chumra of the Mishnah Berurah, which the Mishnah Berurah seems to be going based off of the Gemara, as we saw, and they explain why it's not a shaila. How do they explain it? The way they say it is as follows. Let's see how Rav Moshe phrases it. It's interesting how he phrases it. Basically, what Rav Moshe says is, the Gemara here is describing when I put beans into a bowl. What happens when I do that? When I put beans into a bowl and I fill it with water, and in the end I have the beans floating to the top and the dirt sinks down to the bottom, that is clearly an act of separation, that is brera. But when I take a leaf of lettuce and I wash it off in the sink, anybody who sees me, what is their immediate reaction or response to what I'm doing? Do they say, oh, look at that, they're doing an act of brera, or they say, no, you're doing what's kederach achila, you're just getting the food ready to be eaten. Part of the process of making a salad is that we wash off the lettuce, that's normal. And therefore, what Moshe says, that's not called derech brera, that's not called an act of separation, that's called derech achila. And therefore, Moshe feels there would be no problem at all. And the case that the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch describe is very particular, it's very specific. It only applies to a situation where the act that you're doing is clear to anyone who sees that you are really doing an act of separation. You are taking apart the dirt and the beans, because otherwise you have no other way to do it. But here, washing off lettuce or washing off fruits and vegetables would not be the same and would not be synonymous at all to the situation that is described in the Gemara. Let's see where Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva. Arachayim chelak alav simen kuf chaf hey, says Rav Moshe here as follows. Pashut, dikivan shiyev shalikacha ochel v'derech achiluhu lerchot hapsola, since it's normal for us before we put lettuce into the salad. We wash off the lettuce. Mutter kedei lechol la'alter, kemod mutter liklof shumim ubesalim lechol la'alter. Just how we spoke about in last year. Why am I allowed to remove the peel from a vegetable before putting it into a salad? Because that's not called derech boru, that's called derech achila. That's the normal way to eat, is that you remove any of the substance that you don't want. Umasha rochtzim ha'olam peiros, and says Rav Moshe, this that most people wash off their fruits, rak b'ki agavna, k'shemebim ha'peiros la'ocham tekef. When do I wash them off? Right before I eat them. The only time the Gemara says that this would be problematic on Shabbos and be a malacha of borer is only when I have beans and I put them into the water and I leave them soaking in there. That is an act of borer. That's an act of separation. But if I want to hold something under the faucet, and I'm not leaving it in a bucket of water to soak, that is not called the act of separation, that is called washing. And what do I do before I eat vegetables? I wash them. That is what Rav Moshe writes. So the bottom line is, Rav Moshe says there are three basic reasons why we would be allowed to wash fruits and vegetables today. Number one, he says, because when I do it right before I eat, that is part of the eating process. The same way I'm allowed to peel the vegetables before eating them, so too I'm allowed to wash them. That's not called borer, that is called derech achila. Number two, says Rav Moshe, most of the fruits and vegetables today in our generation are not really dirty, and therefore it's not even called a borer at all. It's not called an act of separation because there is nothing here that is mixed up. It's clear that this is a fruit or vegetable that would be probably edible regardless of whether or not I wash it. And number three, he says, it's possible that the only time the Gemara speaks about this whole issue of borer by washing is only in that specific case. The case is where I have a bucket of water and I put something inside of the bucket to try to separate that which is on it from the item itself. But in our situation where I'm just putting it under the water, that would not be a problem. Which leads us into another issue. Hold on to your both questions, 1 minute. Leads us into another issue. Ever thought about this? Washing dishes on Shabbos. Now, you've thought about washing dishes on Shabbos only because of an issue of hachana, which is, you're not allowed to wash dishes today if you're really just preparing for tomorrow, or if I want to go Matzah Shabbos, I want to go out to have some kind of dinner with my friends, so I don't want to be held up in the apartment after Shabbos to have to wash all the dishes, so let me just do it on Friday, on Shabbos afternoon, and this way I'll save time on Matzah Shabbos. No, that would not be allowed because that's Hachana. But let's say I want to wash the dishes because I need them today. I have company Friday night. I'm going to have company Shabbos day. I need the dishes. I don't have enough. Would I be allowed to wash it? Well, what's the question? There's no Hachana there. I'm not preparing for the weekday. I'm preparing for Shabbos. So would I be allowed to do that? Sounds like it's okay. The only problem is, don't I get into a borer issue? Here I have a plate that has all kinds of dirty items on it. And by cleaning it off, I'm now doing the act of separation. I'm taking the psoles away from the ochel. It doesn't mean I eat the plate. It means I have something that is desirable, something that is undesirable, and now I'm separating the two. Shouldn't that be an issue? That is the question that is raised by the major poskim. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes about it in three different places. I brought all three because he actually changes the formulation in all three of the places and gives us a little bit more of a perspective as to why this should be permissible. So let's see number one. Shlomo Zalman writes in the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, Choshvani, I think, says Rav Shlomo Zalman here in number Zayin, Dekemoshe mutar la'adiach kelim b'Shabbos. Why is it allowed, why is it permissible to clean the dishes on Shabbos? O mapala kela verosho ve'eno chashav kibora, v'lo dami l'shower karshinim o matzav aleim mayim l'hasir mehem apsolas. This is not similar to the case where I put beans into the bowl of water and I leave them there to soak to separate the dirt from the beans. Why is it not the same? There I'm separating the dirt from the beans and here I'm separating the dirt from the plate. Same thing. Same thing. What's the difference? Says Rav Moshe. I'm sorry, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. The Shaper Chashabor, over there it's considered Bor. Behainu, the whole Regilin Tadir Lalachlech Ulahadiach, Ein Zekori B'Shem Bor, Ela Kemenake Kelav Ubegadav. Fascinating. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman. Since we do this every day, we use plates, we get them dirty, and we clean them off, and then we use them again. Says Rav Moshe, if you would ask anybody, when they're watching you clean off a plate, you would ask them, what am I doing? Nobody would say, oh, you're in the middle of the act of separating dirt from your plate. No, that's not what you're doing. Everyone knows this is called washing a plate, right? And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman argues, since nobody would define that as separating, rather they would define it as cleaning. Now, it's very sensitive. The distinction between the two is very sensitive, which is why I want you to see the way he formulates it, again, slightly differently. Look in the second entry here, which is in the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo. He writes, there is, he quotes a Shilta Giborim, which is in the back of the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, and he writes, Shahakol Tolei B'Lashem B'nei Adam. So much of defining what a malacha is and what it is not is dependent on Lashon B'nei Adam. How do people refer to this? How do people see this act? Do they see it as something that is defined as Borer? Or do they see that as something else? And therefore, says Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman in this case, Da'az Havi Kechol Dine Breira, Olo. Just like we know if somebody gets mud on their hands, you're allowed to go to the sink and wash it off. Why don't you say it's borer? Why don't you say it's borer? What's the answer? Because most people who see what you're doing don't say, oh, that's defined as an act of separation. Nobody would say that except a philosopher, right? Nobody would say, oh, the act that the person is doing in the sink as they put their hands under the open faucet is they are separating the dirt from their hands and they are making two distinct items. One is going to be the hand and one is... That's not true. What you're doing is you're washing your hands. Washing your hands. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's the way we look at this as well. It sounds similar to the case that the Gemara said, but it's not similar at all. What I'm doing here is I'm washing off a plate and therefore it would be permissible. And finally, Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa makes an additional point and he says, Yesh Ladon, Delo Shayach Breira. Additionally, he says, even leaving aside everything I said, the only time we have the act of Borer, the only time we have the issue of separation is when I have a mixture. The original example we gave is when I have jelly beans, right? So I have all these kinds of jelly beans. Somebody actually did call me last week and say, they added to you, Sarah, and they said, the people who like black jelly beans also like yellow Laffy Taffys.
I love yellow Taffy Taffys. The banana okay. Is the best.
So here the theory is correct. That person who will be listening tonight will be very happy that you concurred. This woman said that her husband loves black jelly beans and also loves banana Laffy Taffys. And they said it's the same personality that likes both of those. So I'm glad that has now been proven right. Okay. Excellent. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that the only time we talk about borer is when I have all these jelly beans together, and I have different jelly beans that are all around the same size, and it seems to be very mixed up, and I want to take out these, and I want to leave those. That would be an act of borer. That would be an act of separation. However, says Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, if I don't even have a mixture in the first place, if let's say I have black jelly beans here and red jelly beans on a different side of the table, that's not called mixed up. They're not with each other at all. Or he writes, if let's say I have items that are not even mixed up at all, like I don't know what a good example would be, but this is the example that he gives. In this case, when I look at a plate that's dirty, do I say there's a tarovis? Do I say there's a mixture? It's not really a mixture. It's a dirty plate. It's a plate that has things on top of it. It's not a mixture that has to be separated. When I have jelly beans in a bowl, that's a mixture that needs to be separated. When I have a plate with dirt on it, that is not a mixture at all. These aren't two similar items. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, when you put all three of these different ma'amarim together of Rav Shlomo Zalman, you come to the conclusion that there really wouldn't be a problem to wash off dishes on Shabbos, even though the Gemara does say there would be a problem to soak other things in water, because that does look like an act of separating as I leave them in the water on Shabbos. Okay, question. Yes?
Two questions, please. First of all, when Rav Moshe says that it needs to be done for immediate use, is he referring to like both, like let's say I just take grapes out of the fridge that like aren't so dirty and like actual dirty fruit?
No, what he's talking about there is when you have something that really needs to be washed. These are the three svaros, the three formulations that Rav Moshe has to explain why he thinks washing fruit today would be permissible. So you have a mixture of all three of them, and usually you at least have two out of three.
So would it be mutter to, let's say, like wash grapes on Friday night for Shabbos day?
I think so. Yeah. Because okay. You don't really need to wash them in the first place. So the whole discussion doesn't really get started when you're talking about something that doesn't really need to be washed.
Okay. Yeah. Also, would it be allowed to like soak a bowl, let's say, in a sink?
I knew someone was going to ask that. Meaning you have like a bin in the sink, and you fill it with water, and you put dishes into that?
Or like, let's say you have challah on Friday night. So you're
asking for a friend, don't worry, it's okay.
And you have like challah bowls. The reason why I said Friday night is because let's say you want to wash your dishes on Friday night.
Okay.
So you have like challah that's like hard to get out. So you want to like let it sit in the sink for a little while first.
Salt it.
Yeah.
Meaning you put it into
like you just put into water a tub in of the water. Empty bowl.
Oh, water in the empty bowl? That's part of washing.
Okay, even though it's right? Soaking?
No, I thought the question would be, let's say I have a tin inside of the sink. Not a tin. What do you call it? A bucket. Something. Not a bucket.
A tub.
A tub. Inside of the sink. And then I fill it with water and I put the dishes in there to soak. That, I think, is a good question, because maybe that's more similar to what the Gemara's case is. I'm not sure it's similar to your case so much, but I think that would be similar to the Gemara's case, where I have a big tub, and I fill it with these karshinim, I fill it with these beans, and then it naturally separates, and I have two different items that are left here. I think that would be a similar kind of case. I think so. Yeah?
If the grapes are actually dirty, are you able to soak?
If the grapes were actually dirty, then you come back to Rav Moshe's other two considerations. If the grapes were actually dirty, says Rav Moshe, you would be allowed to rinse them right before you eat them, which he says would not be any different than peeling, let's say, a vegetable before you eat it. And secondly, Rav Moshe says, the reason why he thinks rinsing them is fine is because maybe the Gemara was only limited to a situation where you put it inside of something. That is an act of separation. But where I'm rinsing them off in the sink, that's not an act of separation. That's derech rechitza.
But if it was Friday night and you wanted to wash grapes for Saturday, mm-hmm. Would you be able to soak the grapes? Then you wouldn't be able to.
Soaking them, I don't think Rav Moshe would be mekel. I think the reason why he was mekel was because you have these other two considerations. Correct. Yeah. Is this eye opening to anyone? To me, it was very, very eye opening. I'm happy. Someone sharing the experience with me. Yes?
I have a few questions. First, is taking the sticker off of like an apple a problem with borer?
Taking the sticker off of an apple is an excellent question. Let me get back to that. It's a little complicated, yeah?
Okay, and also, just you were talking about like tarovas before.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you never bleed when you floss, or like you know that you're not going to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Is flossing considered borer? Because like brushing your teeth or not. Oh, it's boring. But when you don't have to be very philosophical to think of flossing as removing something that you don't want there.
Interesting question. I don't know. It's an interesting question.
Okay, sorry. I have two more short ones, I hope.
Okay.
But one way to take out the seeds of a pomegranate is by soaking it in water, and then like all the white part floats to the top and the seeds stay on the bottom.
It's good to know.
It's like, good because it's clean.
And then how do you get the seeds out?
And then you just spill out the water, but like you...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it doesn't lose its flavor by being soaked in water?
I don't think so.
You should come taste my pomegranates. Maybe they're sharper. Really? It doesn't lose its zing from being in water?
It's in water for 5 minutes. And
then uh-huh. Okay.
However many minutes. But that's probably your problem with water.
That's exactly what the Gemara talks about.
Got it.
Exactly it. Yeah.
And then also the drains in the sink,
mm-hmm.
that like it will, it's like a filter.
Right.
But it's all like so less.
Right.
It just prevents your drain from getting clogged.
Right.
So is that a problem, or do you have to take out that like sink filter on Shabbos?
And ruin your sink? Ruin your drain, you mean?
Yeah.
So you're saying when I clean the dishes, do I have to let all the food go down the drain?
Right. Like it's so less, but like it's okay in terms of you don't want it to go into your drain.
Yeah, I don't I have to look that up, but I can't imagine how that would be. Right? We would all have broken sinks every Shabbos, right? But we don't. Okay, so I have to... Could be it's not the act of borer, because really what I'm doing is just pouring water on the plate, and it turns out, in the end, that everything gets sifted out on the bottom. I'm not really actively engaging in the malacha. I have to check that out, but I don't think so. Yeah? Okay, give me a minute. We'll get to that. Yeah.
Okay, then also, in terms of soaking, so, like, to continue the question I asked before, if you have a challah, like a crock pot,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's very normal, like, after you use...
After you serve Shabbos morning,
yeah,
you're going to fill it with water.
Fill it with water. Is that...
Isn't that called rechitza?
Yeah, but let's say you're not, like, removing it right after. Like, you're going to deal with it.
Right, but isn't that part of the process of washing, is that we soak it? If you put up chalent, let's say, it's a shem, you'll have children, and you're going to serve leftovers on Sunday night when it's not just you and your husband, right? You're not going to make such fancy dinners. So you're going to serve leftovers on Sunday night, and you're going to put the chalent out on the table, right? So then you're going to wash it on Sunday night. You're not going to serve it Monday again, please. Right? So you're going to serve it Sunday, then you're going to wash it. What would you do on a Sunday night when you're washing it? The same thing. You would let it soak for an hour, and then you would clean it. So this is part of the rechitza, I think. Yeah.
What if you're planning to wash that kapha after Shabbos? Is that hachana? Because you're making it easier for your...
That is an excellent question. Is that called hachana to fill it with water on Shabbos? Because the only reason why I'm doing this is that it should be easier after Shabbos is over. That is a great question. I think if there's a possibility that you might wash it on Shabbos, which is not so... I don't know. I have strong feelings about this. Maybe I'm wrong, but... It really bothers me when the kitchen is filled with dishes on Shabbos afternoon. It bothers me. Anybody else with me?
Yeah.
So you were in my house this Shabbos. My wife is a big machmir. So she doesn't wash them on Shabbos afternoon. It bothers me. It's like you walk into the kitchen. It's like there are piles of trays and things everywhere. It's like, I don't know. It didn't seem to bother any of you, but it bothers me. So as far as I'm concerned, I think there would be a heter to wash the dishes on Shabbos. Now, many people don't want to wash them on Shabbos because you can't use hot water, right? You can't use hot water, so therefore the dishes aren't going to get as clean. My kids asked me this week, we were talking about it, so they said, why does hot water clean dishes better than cold water? I don't know what the answer is. There must be some scientific answer. What?
It's bacteria. It kills
bacteria. Oh, that's why?
Yeah. Hot
it's only from a bacteria issue? I thought it's also, it doesn't clean well. I don't think that's the reason why people are careful. I think the major reason is that the grease doesn't come off when you use cold water, right?
I think probably they're both factors.
Both, okay. So, glad we cleared that up.
So, scientist,
What? It's okay. So that's in terms of that. If that's the case, then it would mean that potentially I would be allowed to wash my crock pot on Shabbos itself. Right? I find it very distasteful when you walk into the kitchen and you see all the leftover pots and pans all over the place and things that are not clean. If it were up to me, we would wash them on Shabbos, right? Forgetting the hot water issue. But we would wash them on Shabbos. And maybe that's why, even if you fill it up with water, it wouldn't be such a potential problem to consider. Maybe. You don't like that. No, it's okay. Okay, so let me just get to a quick question that you asked. We don't have time to get into it. Moshe in Arachayim, Simen Ayin Dalid. You can look it up. Simen Ayin Dalid, Dine Borer. He writes over there that it's a long tshuva. So in Simen Ayin Dalet, he writes about removing the peel from the fruit on Shabbos and whether or not that's borer. So, what? The sticker. Sorry, the sticker. Thank you. That was with regard to your question, which is a very interesting question that he discusses there in Simen Ayin Dalet. So one final issue is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, what actually happens when I do find a bug that is on the lettuce? Every so often that does happen. So what do I do then? Then Reb Shlomo Zalman writes, let's read it. Shlomo Zalman is here in number Yud. He writes, Amnam, charakim kitanim hadvukim ba'alechasa, if I do have a bug that is found on the lettuce, asr lehotziyam levadam. You can't take the bug off. That would be borer. I have a big leaf of lettuce here, and then I have a little bug on it. To remove the bug itself would be an act of borer. Says Reb Moshe, ki hare yesh ba'asarasa mishum, Isser borer, that would be a problem. Ella, how do I get rid of it? You're not allowed to eat the lettuce with the bug on it. So what do I do? He says, Chayv hu lehotzi amiyachad in tzas min ha'ala. I'm allowed to remove it with part of the leaf of lettuce. So I cut off a little part of the leaf. I remove that part with the bug on it. And I dispose of all of that together. Now that actually gets into a very fascinating discussion that the poskim have in Shulchan Aruch. What happens, says the Taz, if I have the following scenario, if I have a zvuv, if I have a fly, or sometimes in the summertime you'll be outside on a Shabbos afternoon and you have a bee will fly into a drink. My feeling is, personally, if anything goes into my drink, I spill out the whole thing, as I can't drink it. But other people are not that way, especially kids. They don't care. So what will they do? What do? You remove the part that you don't want and you keep drinking. You got to throw out a cup of soda, right? Soda's a hot commodity. So we're not gonna throw out the whole thing. Now, I feel it's disgusting. I wouldn't drink any part of it. But other people feel differently. So the Taz discusses, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about in Siman Shin Yud Tes, would I be allowed to remove the zvuv? Would I be allowed to remove the bee or the fly from the drink and then drink the rest of it? Now, isn't that clearly an act of borer? Isn't that a malach on Shabbos? How would I be allowed to do that? So the Taz says there's a very simple way around it. What's the simple way around it? Spill out the whole drink? Spill out some of it? Meaning, take some liquid with the fly and spill it out. And this way, you have not really separated the bad from the good because you're taking good and bad together and spilling it out, and you're left with only good. That's what the Taz writes, that would not be a problem. The Chazon Ish disagrees, and the Chazon Ish says, no, you're basically removing everything that was touching that fly, which is all contaminated, you're getting rid of all of that, and now you're left with everything good. So basically you got rid of all the bad, and now you have good left. That is borer. So the Chazon Ish disagrees with the whole premise of separating, of what the Taz writes, that you can just separate the fly together with a little bit of liquid, and that would be fine. That's not fine. That doesn't help you at all. That's still an act of borer, and that would not be acceptable. We generally assume, like the Taz, that is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah writes as well. Let's say, for example, I have a pot of soup, and on top of the soup, sometimes when you take a pot of soup out of the fridge, so you're going to have some fat that's going to be on top of a layer of fat that's on top of the soup. Now, nobody wants to eat that, but how am I allowed to remove it? If I remove it, wouldn't that be considered an act of borer? Says the Mishnah Berurah, the way to get rid of that problem is if you separate it together with some of the soup. And he says that would be the same as separating part of the liquid together with the fly that flew into it. That would be a way around it. Similarly, when you had your question about what happens if the pit falls in from the lemon, right, into this salad. So if I just remove it by itself, that would be a problem, because then I'm doing the act of borer, that I'm separating the psolas from the ochel. But if, let's say, I take the pit, and with it, I remove one piece of cucumber, or one slice of a pickle, and whatever was in the salad, and I remove those together, that would be the same as the case that the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah discuss here, where we would say that it would be permissible so long as you're taking some of the ochel along with the psolas. Again, the Chazon Ish writes, he doesn't really understand how this can be permissible if, after all, once I'm doing that, am I not showing that all of that I removed was really psolas, and everything that's staying behind is ochel? But that, in general, is the way we are make like the Mishnah Berurah, and that is why it would probably be permissible to do that here as well. Yes, question?
Yeah.